I think I've got it.
Courage, compassion, and wonder. Courage, compassion, and wonder.
Courage, compassion,
wonder.
Flow, mistakes,
wonders.
Love, growth. Courage, compassion,
wonder.
Flow, mistakes,
wonders.
Love, growth.
This is the Ike's in your pocket.
Let's get to work.
Welcome to EIX in your pocket number 4. What's up? This is Ray. Just going to kick off the episode. We got a pretty filled one. This past weekend was a really cool experience. A lot of it was learning about food and the food supply. And it just kind of happened naturally. Friday, we took one of our students to a food bank called World Harvest Food Bank. You should check them out, World Harvest Charities on Instagram, but they provide food to the food insecure, those who might be at risk of hunger. And then on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, we helped out and made some sandwiches with our friends at Skid Row Coffee for the opening of the Skid Row People's Market, which our friend Danny owns, which formerly was Best Market, so like a neighborhood store. Right in the heart of Skid Row that they actually turned into a small grocery store now with vegetables and fresh produce available and promoting more of a healthy lifestyle and healthy choices for the people of Skid Row. So it was a really fascinating thing to think about our process in food and when we touch food and where food comes from and just the whole process and all of it that goes along with it. So it was a very enriching weekend, and just had us wanting to talk about 2019 as some things are changing in EIX and we're kind of pivoting. I wouldn't say pivoting, I would say we're evolving naturally and growing and flowing with the process of our community, the work, and the people we're surrounded by, and the times that we live in, and just listening to that and being guided by that. So today's episode, you will hear me and Uni speaking about that. You'll hear from our friend Leslie from Paris. And finally, you'll hear a couple-minute interview from the one and only Sonia Park, our EIX mama. So check out the episode. Catch you in a little bit. Peace.
2019.
February.
We're in it. 1 month later. Here we are.
So we're going to chat about the outlook for 2019, as you know, we're in year 6 of EIX. Just think about the strategy, the mission, the vision, the people, the community, the projects, the work that's to be done, and our personal growth all combined. It's a pretty big year for us. I think every year is, but I think this year there's a level of feeling like there's a tipping point coming soon.
Yeah, last year I think we were focused very much on bringing EIX firsthand to the number we had chosen was 267 new people. So that was through like the workshops at our house, social events, community services, bringing EIX to people in a meaningful way, in a face-to-face way. This year, it goes well, I think, with just both of our experience in Europe, but I think everyone just kind of reflecting over the holidays, realizing we want to go deeper, but also to not be in such a hurry. Tying it to like my own personal Europe experience was the idea of not being so fixated on the destination or the outcome and really savoring the process and the time. So at least for me, it's helped in January not feeling so rushed to put something on and just really spending the time to reflect, to really strengthen the vision amongst the inner crew, to have those conversations, to give that as much time as we can to balance that out versus just constantly trying to do. But just, yeah, reflecting on how we want to show up this year and what our intentions are.
Yeah, I think for me, it's been more about my whole life. My adult life has been about being the cheerleader, the morale, pumping people up. And I think that's still what I do at my core. And that's still what I want to do and help people find what it is that makes them tick, like find those experiences that are specific to them, dig for that gold inside of them that makes them like come alive. But more, I think it's crazy because it's not so much in this out in front of everybody feel, but it's more of from a theoretical standpoint in this more philosophical cultural value piece of what EX is as a whole, and like thinking about how if we can curate those values and curate this service that we want to do and curate this connection that we want to build on deeper wavelengths to connect people to each other and then connect those people to the people that are doing the service, that are working in the communities, that are committing their lives to specific causes, or they just care about the world and they care about people and they want to do things to build that. Like the idea for us to like build that out and kind of grease the wheels on that and bring our community, because the support is, it's wild. It's very, very full force, and a lot of it is just volunteer and people giving their time, their talents, that they get paid for, and to do that so that it can go back to serve other people or to enrich other people's lives. It's a great start, and it's a great, great way that we've grown, going from like the camp to like social events to now focusing 2019 to be this space of connecting, growing, getting ready to like serve and be more active in the community.
Yeah, I think it starts with what we've built this last year, which is just the initial connection piece. We really wanted for people to come and just to experience EIX in a really low stakes way, and hopefully if you came to anything that we put on in 2018, you felt a sense of ease, or you got a feel for the vibe of what types of environments we feel like we're supposed to be creating. And then now that we have that sort of comfortability with the community, really trying to figure out, because we're connectors, because we in the EIX glue crew, just like the people that are in the inner scene, our relationships with people across various communities are pretty dynamic, pretty diverse, pretty sweet. And so we recognize like we have what we're good at, we have our expertise, but then there are many, many other people out in these other communities that have amazing expertises and things that we would learn so much from. And so doing what we do best, which is connecting and creating environments and then bringing people together to learn, to realize our tool chests, to gain new skills and knowledge, to share stories, to connect and have a good time, but also realize our own capacity, our own potential, because ultimately I think we all realize that the strength of what we do, like it should be measured by how people would be able to continue the work forward with or without us. So that's, how are we empowering other people?
It's pretty much, it should be. That's what it should be, right? Like when you build something, it should be progressing. It should evolve. You know, I think it should always be tied to its mission, like its original core, like the value of like what you're trying to reach or what you're trying to achieve, right? That those goals, but the journey, you know, or the ways that you get there should be super flexible. At least I believe in like that flexibility allows for different people's experiences, different types of intelligence, different backgrounds. So I think that specifically for us is like that glue crew, like that inner piece should be growing this year, you know, and it's like, how are we gonna steward that kind of culture that we have? Like how are things like courage, compassion, and wonder and that piece, and like how are we challenging it doing that? I think for me, the big thing is like, I think, yeah, for this kind of like, quote unquote, like baby that we've been like kind of just taking care of, and it's been kind of inside in the community that we work with. But this idea of like allowing people to, how do we allow people to take what they think EIX is or how they experience it, how they interact with it, and then take that from their own experience and create something new and to create change or to create some sort of service, create some sort of impact, and have us be able to like back that up completely and know that we're on the same wavelength of trying to serve others, be in this service mindset, trying to create a little more empathy in the world, more compassion in that piece, and to build a more connected world. Again, I know it can sound very like up in the sky, pie in the sky. But it's essentially that simple. Like today, what we did today is a very clear example of that. Helping out with Skid Row Coffee and making sandwiches in the morning. One, it was helping them feed people for the grand opening of Skid Row People's Market, making the Cubano sandwiches. But then to see that process of like going in the morning at Skid Row Coffee in their cafe in the Central Library, and to have this experience of being in a kitchen and know that you're helping these people that are doing a service day in, day out to provide food for people, just to be able to help out. And then they have their expertise and you feel like, oh, I'm getting a slice of this life of working in the back of a kitchen, in this nice kitchen in the library. And then you work and we spent 3 hours and I'm like, whoa, that's it. Like, it was so much fun and so much learning. And then we took the sandwiches over to Skid Row People's Market. And then there, it's like a whole nother experience with just like the market being rebranded so that it's a small grocery store, vegetables. Then we took a walk to the park, singing. And then we come back and then it's like the community people are sharing that process of rebranding the market. Then we did like the Korean drums outside, like that whole kind of like rhythm and flow of a community, how it gives and it ebbs and it flows and there's real synergy. That's amazing. Like that piece today that we experienced, that like is that, because there's people that do so many things way better than us that it's awesome to see that it's like, it's just like, yeah, you just like understanding your limitations. Like, that's cool that they do something so well that we could never do, but like we can support them in the way that we can. And that's such a powerful, powerful thing to be able to do.
Solidarity, community. Yeah. Today was wild. I'm still reeling and trying to process. But just seeing what is possible when people come together and, yeah, it's not about like one person, you know. I would say Danny spent much of his time acknowledging all the various different groups that have come together to support the People's Market reopening. That coalition building, that's basically what we want to build through EX, is whatever we can do is help unlock that within you. Because we all have something that we must care about, whether it's kids or whether it's gun violence, whether it's climate change, or whether it's someone in your family got sick and you're trying to crowdfund for their medical bills, whatever it is, like, we all got stuff that speaks to us. And so exploring what that is, and really anything is possible with people power.
Mm-hmm. Even the, like, today the idea of, because Danny was talking about basically the theme that I think I've been learning this weekend is about like food access and the resource to food. On Friday, we went to World Harvest Food Bank with one of our students, and they provide big carts of food for families that might be food insecure. Pay $40 to get a cart for over like $200 worth of groceries. We emailed him about one of our students. He said, come on in. You can volunteer 4 hours for the cart. But he's like, you two just come in, spend an hour, you get it. We got in there. I think he just understood the situation. He's like, listen, you guys just go ahead and get a cart. It was a cart of food, you know. And then today, to think about, I think one perspective I got from working with Jess and in that kitchen and seeing where they get it from, Imperfect Produce, the food, which is like an organization that tries to limit waste by selling imperfect produce that's still good. This idea, when you're actually eating food, you're so late in the process. You're for me now to think about it, if I don't have awareness about my food, I'm strictly a consumer. You know, I don't take into account like who prepared this food, like who picked the food, who grew the food, who drove it, who transported it. There's such a long process that is invisible to me, that's always been, that I've never really thought about until this point, where you're like, oh wow, there's so many hands, so much effort, so much time. And then it's in concert with the earth. It's in concert with these growing patterns and cycles that all come together to feed you, to give you nourishment. Well, what am I doing with that nourishment and being fed? So to see that be full circle in a day like that today was, it's very impacting. And it's kind of like the shutters of my eyes got a little bit wider.
Yeah, so even like what you're talking about, for me, having a connection towards food is a relatively new concept, and you know, I don't even compost, right? And so for me, I'm very much a beginner when it comes to that arena, right? And so how we try to relate it to all you guys is how can that chasm be bridged? What can we do to bridge that for a newbie who's, you know, like me again? I guess I find comfort in knowing that, okay, we have friends like Rectangle who I can ask these questions to, right? But I'm lucky because I have just these friendships within like my network. And so, you know, we have different ideas for this year of events that we can do where you're coming, you're getting that same environment where you're feeling safe, you're feeling comfortable, just being authentic, to be vulnerable, connecting with other people in the community, but then bringing in someone like Andrew Marco or Ralph Shao from Rectangle to come and speak and teach us about food, right? The very basics of, you know, how they, whatever it might be, whatever it's what they access or what they produce themselves, how they go about it. Or, and Marco has been talking about teaching about fermentation, you know, and I'm someone who loves kimchi, but I love it so much, but I don't even know how to, you know, make it myself, what really the process is. And so, an example would be, yeah, these guys have their expertise. We can create the environment, and just if that's something that interests you, then we'll have, you know, a series of workshops focused on that. And so what the most recent newsletter, EX Huddle number 9, the intention behind basically what was written there was just to bring more of this idea and this awareness around, you know, what do you care about? What are you interested in? And let's connect and come over for dinner. Like, we'll just want to like hang out and just pick your brain, because really, again, our gifts or our tools, like what we're able to do is to hopefully, you know, like Ray said, like cheerlead that on and pump it up and to make it a reality from just like an idea or like a pondering in yourself, because you have a lot to offer. Yeah, you. Yes, you. Listening, yeah. Yeah, you.
Yeah, that's essentially, you know, the goal for 2019, you know, is to activate and to back up, support, bring the people, bring the pain. Like, we obviously still have a ton of ideas that we want to do and many things that we want to accomplish, from like a camp out to a basketball tournament, a wonderful women's weekend, food events, and cultural pieces. Still want to do Wonderful Wednesdays. So there's a lot of pieces that go, but even that has been a practice in, or an exercise in, allowing space for things to grow and come into place. And so not putting a rush on those things, like setting a few of these up that people have really a heart for, that really want to drive this and feel like they can grow personally within it and share with the community. And that's what we want to do, is leave the space throughout the year for, yeah, if you have something, right? If there's an inkling when Uni was saying that, when we've been talking about this, that something might have like sprouted and then maybe like went back in, but then you had the sprout for like a second, right? You're like, oh, you're
what
like,
was
oh,
the sprout?
Yeah, what is the sprout? Maybe you're like sprout and you're like, I can't do this. Yeah, and he goes, like, what was that before that went away? You know, what was that initial gut? Because that's the truth. Right? That's your reaction. That's understanding of yourself. Whatever that retraction is, that's what we bring. That space. Let's get rid of that retraction. And let's let's just bring you out. Talk about it. Let's massage it. Let's learn about you. Let's learn about your experiences and why you care about something. And see if we can't collaborate and find other people that are your people that can build something with you. Mm. So I think that's the big goal. And that's essentially what we wanted to share, kind of discuss, because it is a big shift, I think, if you look from like 2013 to the camps to like the last couple of years being more adult facing and like workshopping and retreats. And then now it's, let's just take on, like, we've put everything together. You know, there's thoughts about like making a business, building an LLC of a certain piece of it, but now like all of it's the nonprofit. Why don't we build this network and activate and serve and raise up? So I think that's the big goal in the happenings.
Yee.
So I think talking about France and that experience that you heard in the last podcast, one person I think brought a lot to our trip was Leslie, Leila Boom.
Leslie!
Yeah, so...
We love you, Leslie.
Leila Boom. Coquille Saint-Jacques. But we met Leslie in Paris, and it was cool to catch up with her 3 years later after meeting her couch surfing, and to hear well, she was in the middle of a world trip and a world travel, and to hear her experience of how she views life now and what she's learned all throughout that, and how we get along with our vibes, which we tend to think is like what we thrive in with EX, that kind of vibe that it's so useful for traveling, that openness and that willing to understand and to like look at things, question things, and contemplate and reflect. We think she was one person in the way that she viewed it, which added so much grounding to the trip and her view on humanity, which was a lot like ours. So I think that was, this is, you're going to listen to one thing that really helped set our 2019.
Check
it out.
The Gumi crew.
The Gumi crew. When two. Gimme crew.
Oh, shout out Grigo real quick. You have to give Grigo a shout out.
Grigo, Coquille Saint-Jacques, Croissant. Croissant, pain au chocolat. So what are you going to do with this?
We're making a podcast, so we're doing one about going to Paris.
So asking people.
Yeah. Well, specifically our friends. We did an interview with Flo after the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now we want to just ask you a couple questions.
Okay, oh my god.
Why is Paris the shit?
Was Paris the shit?
Yeah.
Because there is like a spirit in Paris, really special. Like as you say, you have like, you can walk around and there is always different atmospheres in each street or arrondissement. So you like, you don't have enough in one life to see everything in Paris. Mm. I think, for everything.
And where are all the places you have been?
In Paris?
In the world.
In the world. So I did a world trip during 1 year and a half. So I went in Brazil, in Bolivia, in Peru, in Colombia, in California, dude. In Japan, in Thailand, in India, Malaysia, Indonesia, New Zealand, Africa, yes, and that's it. It's already a lot.
What did you learn about the world?
About the world? So about people, it's like, I think the best way to travel is to be alone, because I was like, really bad with my work, and I was like to stop everything, and I was like, how does it say, not good with humanity. I was like, shit, they're all shit, my work was really bad and really fake, everything. So like, I'm going to live my dream. I'm going to do a world trip, and I meet like amazing people that I was like sometime losing, and that was like so friendly, so nice with me, and I was alone, and I met only really good people, so I end up with really amazing experience of the words and people, and like you feel close with people far from your place, and you can get a really strong connection with them. You have nothing in common, but it's like we are all the same in some place. Yeah, I think.
Why were you having such a hard time before you left for your trip with work and everything?
Because it was really, I was working in a pharmaceutical firm, so in big office, everything. So it was like really political stuff. You have to show yourself, you have to do like speak with people just to get high in the office, and it was all about interest. I don't know if it's the good words. So it was really fake relation. So I didn't feel good in this. You know, I tell you the word, like, we had like some regular meeting with my boss. And the last one, it was like 2 days after I quit my job, I was like, shit, no, she can't say that. She told me, Leslie, you are a really good product, and now you have to sell yourself. I was like, no, you can't say that. It's terrible, because I was like, I wanted to be recognized for my work, and not about the shit that I'm going to say around the coffee to show myself, to see people, to speak. And it was only fake. So I was like, no, I go. So I quit my job. I broke up with my boyfriend. I left my flat, and I took like one-way ticket to Brazil. And that's it. This is the story.
Was it scary?
No, because I think I didn't wait for to be scared. I did it really fast. And if I was listening to people around me, I never do that. Because they told me, like, don't do that, alone, girl. Even on the first stop was in Brazil. Like, you are crazy, alone, no. And I was like, fuck off, I go. And I went.
Are you familiar with the word courage? Does it have a...
Courage?
Courage?
Yeah, I think. Oh, or no, actually. Because I told you I didn't have time to think. I think when you want to do something, you go. You don't have to think. Yeah.
Stuff,
this is a good interview.
What do you think would make Paris even better?
After? Yeah, it's a good question. Because when I came back, I think I didn't have the same eyes. I saw stuff that I never was looking for before. So I was like coming back with a new sense, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really happy to come back to see, oh, I broke the micro. And really happy to see my family and friends again when I came back. Yeah. So, yeah. But it's something after you, it's really strange when you come back. It was like a dream, and you come back, you feel, how you feel, the word, apart. It's crazy. I had like crazy travel, so it's difficult to explain to people. So I was like not really talking about it, only when someone was asking to me and really wanted to know, I was talking about, and it was a real sharing about it. I was not like speaking about it, no, because it was something for me. And when someone asking, yeah, I was sharing this.
Do you feel like the feeling has, because now you've been back for how long?
Mm-hmm. For 3 years, I think.
Did the feeling go away, or how have you kept the feeling?
Yeah, it's still here, but it's like now I lived my dream, so I don't want to do it again. I'm like happy with what I have now. I feel really lucky because I saw a lot of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I just enjoying everything, because you can enjoy everywhere, little things. You don't need to go so far, but for me, it's helped me a lot.
What are the most important things to you in life now?
Enjoying every moment, I think. Yeah, and sharing and have a good time, and you can, like, help people maybe like all the time with good moments, sharing stuff, and you don't have to do a lot of things. It's about even your little group of friends or family, and yeah, just enjoying and smile, and yeah, the life is too short.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie.
Wisdom from De La Boom.
That's it. Gimme crew, Coquille Saint-Jacques. Coquille Saint-Jacques, 1, 2, 1, 2.
What's Coquille Saint-Jacques?
Coquille Saint-Jacques.
What is that?
Fancy scallops? It's like a fancy scallop on a shell. The shell is like that.
The seafood. Seafood. You will eat it tonight, maybe.
Adrian. Thank you, Layla.
You're welcome.
All right, so that was Leslie, aka Layla Boom, the infamous. It was really awesome to just hear her worldview, especially her place is in the middle of Montmartre, which is an old artist village that used to be away from the rest of Paris, but as the city grew out, now it's a hub of a lot of happenings. It was the hub of many artists and musicians up on a hill. It's a really vibrant area, and she overlooks just these cross streets, and it's very iconic in what I would think, or what I would have romanticized Paris to be. So it was awesome to be in that environment with her, see her removed from her trip 3 years later and settled in and having such a tight perspective, or at least a grounded perspective on what's important to her within her life and what she needs to do to feel her happiness, to feel her fulfillment. And it's really affirming to hear it in the sense of you just need it for the people around you, for yourself, and to enjoy those moments, to relish that. And so I think it's a beautiful reminder for us to take a look at how we want to impact. And instead of thinking about let's just hit up the whole world and let's make this as big as possible, let's scale as much as we can, as quickly as we can, and just connect with everybody, very much grounding in the idea of working within our communities, within the people that are close to us, and starting there and growing from there. And now we're going to have Uni kick it off for our last little piece.
All right. Coming up next, we have a 2-minute interview with Sonia Park. Sonia has been a part of EIX for a handful of years now, has been supporting us since the beginning. She's a director of a company at Culture Shock Los Angeles, a nonprofit dance group out here in LA. They do phenomenal work in the community using dance as a means for cultivating dignity, self-worth, those very important key parts of human development. They work with kids, they work with adults. Sonia is helping lead that ship. She's also one of the most childlike, wonderful people that I know. Anytime around her, I always feel a sense of, I could just be crazy and it's okay because she will match my energy and it's all good. But then also feeling very taken care of because she has almost that motherly strength about her where if you're around, she's constantly looking out to see how she can help you or if you're all good. And knowing people like that just makes me want to return that as much as I can as well. And so love you, Sonia. We thank you and enjoy.
Okay, I might just try some stuff, but let's go for it. Okay, here we go.
Use me.
Yeah, Sonia's 2-minute interview starting now. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, the Recha latte.
What's in that?
It's matcha latte with a shot of espresso with almond milk.
Describe the feeling you had when it first went down.
Ooh, chalky kiss.
Patience.
I do social media for a nonprofit and special events.
Why is that important to you?
It helps me share good things about the community and a reason for people to stay involved.
What have you been doing consistently in the last year?
Consistently in the last year? Talk to myself.
How do you self-care?
Hot yoga.
What's one author, artist people need to know?
Ooh, Tom Misch.
Ooh, what is success to you?
Being surrounded by people you love and laughing together.
Name something you really, really, really love about yourself.
My laugh.
Why shouldn't you buy anything with Velcro?
Because it gets stuck in your hair?
It's a total ripoff. Happiness is?
Chipmunk laughs. Yeah.
When's the last time you used curves?
Oh, man. Oh, parking in handicap. Wait, should I be saying that?
I saw you put that tick. Something you're really sorry about.
Parking in the handicap. Okay.
What's a song you've been dancing to?
Oh, man. actually like scat music. Somebody that bitty.
10 seconds left. What's a piece of advice you'd have for somebody that you've learned?
Have eye contact.
What does the audible manifestation of your wonder sound like?
It's hands in your pocket.
Yeah,
that was really tough.
That was great.
I like that.
That's Sonia. You can hear the childlike wonder in full effect. She's also a grinder. She just gets stuff done when she believes and is behind something. She goes full force. She's like this mom with like an unbreakable will to take care of her own and everything she's about. So one quick thing about Sonia that I love, one of my favorite memories is LIB last year. We were camping next to this group of college students. I think they were from San Diego State, but they brought like a watermelon, no knife. They were eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. On the last day, they locked their keys in their car and they were just hungry and just hurting at the end of the weekend. And Sonia had cooked this large meal for our camp and she brought them over, and it was, you know, there was a kid who hadn't eaten kimchi in a while. He was so happy, and Sonia enjoyed it so much that she went into like our makeshift shower in the camp just to cry her tears of joy for feeding them. So that is in a nutshell who Sonia is. So thanks for listening with us, hanging with us. Stay tuned on the EIKES Instagram. That's where we keep a lot of our stuff, all the events coming up, as well as the next episodes. Have a good week. Take care of each other. Love each other up. Have a good one. Peace.
I think I've got it.
Courage, compassion, and wonder. Courage, compassion, and wonder.
Courage, compassion,
wonder.
Flow, mistakes,
wonders.
Love, growth. Courage, compassion,
wonder.
Flow, mistakes,
wonders.
Love, growth.
This is the Ike's in your pocket.
Let's get to work.